Contest of Champions, episode number 22, Wolverine versus Living Laser.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Contest of Champions.
It's the CLC!
Welcome back, everybody, to the second exciting season of Contest of Champions Live. This is episode number 22, and we are excited to welcome you back, you listeners back, and some competitors, some pretty awesome competitors to this episode. This is the Contest of Champions is the premier online comic book game of the century. And as always, I am the clobberin' clergyman, Jeff Jackson. Why is that funny? Why you gotta laugh?
I'm laughing because it's so true.
Yes. Yeah, it is true, in fact. Yeah. We had a conversation about that this week. Not with us, but hopefully at the end, near the end of the show, possibly maybe my co-host, the Canadian Cape Killer, Mr. Ian Johnson will be with us, and Ian's got a really great excuse for not being here. Ian is one of his daughters is being featured through this program called Kids Ability, which is a program that works with kids with special needs, and his daughter Lily has autism, and so they're featuring her and her life with autism, and they're also featuring Ian, and he's done a lot of work with the Kids Ability Foundation, and so so this foundation, this organization, is spotlighting the two of them, and tonight they got to go and throw out the first puck at a hockey game. So that's
good for them.
Yeah. So they're doing a radio spot. They're doing, his daughter's doing a commercial for Kids Ability. And so it's all really cool. So, so he hated to not be here, but I said, dude, that's a really legitimate excuse.
Yeah, it's a lot more important.
It is a lot more important. So, so we're proud of them, and hopefully Ian will be back and maybe can share a little bit about the hockey game. So, but with us are our fantastic competitors. First of all, the spreadsheet specialist himself, Mr. Dan Brienne. How are you doing, Dan?
Good. Feeling a little outnumbered without my Canadian co-patriot there. But
yeah, I know. Seriously, like we could say all kinds of crude things about Canadians tonight, and it was
I couldn't agree with you because I was hanging out with like seven of them last night.
Nice.
Best darn people that you want to party with.
That's really true. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can't really say much bad about Canadians. I mean, they're all really fantastic. So I've never met one I didn't like. Anyway, and with us also is the man who is single-handedly reforming the youth of America, Mr. Infinite Speech.
Yeah, hello.
How you doing tonight?
I am pretty good so far. We'll see what happens by the end of the show.
Surviving the daylight savings time.
As always, kicking my butt every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, I was glad that you both sprung forward and showed up on time, unlike a couple of my church members who forgot to do that today and showed up late. So,
yeah, I was late to work today, so, you know.
That always happens. So, well, last week kicked off our first fight of this round or this season of Contest of Champions, and the fight featured Professor X versus Venom at the Sword Peaks. Is it seven? Peak seven?
Peak seven, yeah.
Yeah, space station. And I have to say, if you went on the forums at comicattack.former.com, the conversation was pretty awesome and intense, and that's something that we didn't have last season, and so I feel like we're back. I feel like we're finally back with the forums up and lots of great conversations on that. So so that is a lot of really good conversation about what was going on there, and we had two great rationales from our two managers last week, Tom and Daniel, and so now is the time where we make the decision of, or we find out who the winner was. So because the forum poll is a little bit different than the poll last time, the only way to see the results is to vote. So that means I have to vote. I have not seen the results at all.
You just stayed away from it?
Yeah. Well, I can't see it.
Yeah.
Unless
if
I vote.
If you don't vote, you can't view the results.
That's right.
Yeah. So it says view results, but it doesn't
work.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That's fair.
We can just tell you if you want.
Well, no, I want to do it because I want to be surprised. So,
all right.
So I'm going to make my vote, but I'm not going to say it just yet. I'm going to explain it so you don't need to say. So, so I've made my vote, and I'm waiting for it to kick back in. And, wow, the vote is 58% Venom. At 11 votes, and then it was at 7 votes for Professor Xavier. So the poll is leaning Venom. So I'm going to give you what I think about this, and I have to go Professor X.
Really?
Yep, and this is why. I don't think that Sword would necessarily know. About the Secret Avengers, because they are in fact secret. So that was a big argument that Sword would know about, you know, that Venom would have clearance on the Sword space station. I in fact think that the argument is more sound, that because Sword deals with aliens, that they would see Venom as an alien threat. That just makes a lot more sense to me than. Then it's never. I don't know of. I mean, we don't know if Flash Thompson has any clearance with Sword. He's not a Sword agent. He's a government agent. It's a completely different thing. So just because he's a secret Avenger and just because he works for the government doesn't mean that he has Sword clearance. And most people don't even know that Sword exists. And so they would see and they would be trained to fight an alien that's just teleported on board for no. Reason. So I think he would have a squad of Sword agents on him, as well as Professor X, and possibly Professor X using those agents to subdue Venom. I also think that the symbiote is just that, a symbiote. There was talk of, well, Professor X could shut down Flash's mind, and then the symbiote could just run around and get other hosts and all of these other things. And I don't think the symbiote would just sacrifice Flash to Xavier. He needs Flash to survive. He needs a human host in order to survive. And so I don't think he's just going to willing. He makes a bond with the host that he has. And he doesn't just – he's not like the Shadow King where he just jumps around from body to body. And so so he's got, and he's also going to protect Flash at all costs. So, so that's the rationale against that. But the question of the symbiote's mind came up, and here is something to consider. I looked up on the Marvel Wiki, and under, if you go to the symbiote's page, not Venom, but you go to the symbiote's page. It lists his powers, and one of the powers is a genetic memory. And it says this: the symbiote possesses some limited psychic ability, making it capable of obtaining information from its host and even other people and symbiotes simply by touch. This ability allowed Eddie Brock to know the secret identity of Spider-Man when the symbiote bonded with him. It can, however, be forced to forget information if the symbiote is inflicted with heavy trauma. So, for me, if the symbiote has a mind, if it has psychic ability, then Professor X can shut it down. So that's my rationale for why I think Professor X would take this. Ian sent me his pick. So now we're tied. We've got the poll saying Venom, and I'm saying Xavier, and Ian's pick is the final. And this is what he says. The symbiote, well, and I'm not quite sure. This is what he wrote. So I don't know if it makes sense. It says, symbiote is with Flash. Can't say Iron Man's suit goes on without him. So I think that goes back to my statement about the symbiote and Flash needing one another. He says that the sword and the agents up at the peak would be familiar with Professor X, and they would be trained to defend against symbiotes, which they actually did in New Avengers. He said, in an isolated environment, I vote Venom. This environment is too friendly to Professor X. So Ian votes also Professor Charles Xavier, and so this one is in the books. Professor Xavier wins over Venom. What do you guys think?
I think that regardless of Eddie, the symbiote was just fine before it bonded to Eddie. So, I mean, for anyone to say that it can't go on without him.
It was bonded to Peter.
Right, but right before Flash got it, it was just they had trapped it, but it was doing just fine. If they had let it out, it would have just latched on to whoever it needed to.
Well,
so
right.
I mean,
the suit
still has offensive capabilities, whether it's attached to a body or not. The whole shutting it down thing, since it's never been done, and when Reed was looking for a weakness, the only two he was able to find was fire and sound waves.
Sound. Right.
You know, and Reed is like what, the second or third smartest guy on the planet.
Well, let's say this then. I mean, I do think that if on the peak, those folks would be equipped to handle a symbiote. Now, maybe the people haven't. Maybe this hasn't been shown in the comics, but say Lockheed is on the peak when this fight takes place, and Charles controls Lockheed, or Lockheed would probably defend him anyway. You've got a fire breather right there who would be right at the symbiote. So, you know, plus I'm sure they have sound equipment and flamethrowers and all kinds of stuff on there to deal with that.
But that's still kind of loose too, because Eddie's got an artillery inside of the suit, so he can just, I mean, Lockheed can breathe fire, but he's not dodging a hailstorm of bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And symbiote tentacles. So, I mean, he gets slapped around, but just dealing with the environment there, and, like, I don't want to go in too deep because I have, like, great scenarios for both that in them toppling this that I said even on the thread, I won't go into detail because I don't want to give any hints away to either one because, you know, I may have to face Professor X on the space station soon.
Yeah, that's true.
But I would say I would kind of lean more towards Venom winning this because Eddie is a soldier and he would think like one. And I was pretty sure that at one point the symbiote had been written to at least block out some type of telepathic interference to the host. But I do remember that scene in I think it was Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers or whatnot where Gargan got snatched up.
So then that was a good argument on Tom's point.
Consistency with your writers, Marvel, would have helped us out in the game.
That's right. Well, if you agree or disagree, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to post in the thread, the Professor X versus Venom thread, and we'll continue the conversation there. So before we get to tonight's fight, we're going to take a minute to talk about a couple of news items that took place in the world of funny books this week. And really, I want to focus on one. Ian always says to me that he thinks that Marvel listens in on our conversations. And here's a perfect example of this, because we had talked about this a while back. But this week, Marvel announced that all of their comics would be printed with a free copy of the digital version with a little code.
Well, the $3.99 comics.
Well, right. Well, actually, they're Yeah, you're right. The $3.99, the main Marvel titles. Am I right? Is it? It's like the main, the big flagship titles, really.
Exactly.
The event, the Avengers, the X-Men, the $3.99 books. So you know, this is really good news for comics because things are starting to change. We had a whole episode where we talked about. We didn't talk about digital, did we? No, we talked about renumbering and rebooting, but we've been talking about this issue of digital comics versus print copies, and so I think this will only help advance the digital movement and bring some new readers to comics. I think this could be a good move. What do you guys think?
Does this validate the $3.99 price tag now?
Well, pricing is interesting. I mean, I don't know if it does. I don't think it valid. No, I don't think it necessarily validates it. But what it does show me in terms of pricing for the online stuff is that the online stuff is just all arbitrary. You know, they can make that be free if you buy the comic, or
they can charge you for it.
Or they can charge you for it. They can charge you the same amount for it. You know, but the whole point is that they have not found a viable price point for digital comics. They haven't, because while, you know, some people are doing it, I mean, I think a lot more would if they just made it 99 cents. But maybe someone is listening.
How much does your typical digital comic go for right now?
$2.99.
Really?
Well, it's usually it's usually the same amount on the day of, and then if you wait a week or a month or something like that, then they'll drop it down to like they'll just drop it a dollar. So it might be $1.99, but that's like a month later.
Yeah, I still wouldn't pay that.
Yeah, I still wouldn't pay that either. Right. The only way that I would pay for digital is if it was a cheaper way or an equivalent to what I pay it through my comics dealer. So, or through an LCS.
Yeah.
So, so while this is a good step in the right direction, I think Marvel's got a little bit of ways to go. And then even today they announced their new, and I don't quite understand it.
Infinite Comics.
Infinite Comics, and
lawsuit.
Lawsuit, yeah. Speech has got a lawsuit against them. what I understand is that it's basically taking comics to the next level, but because it's digital, they don't have to necessarily stay within the framework that a print copy gives, you know, that the size, the dimensions of the page, that they can, with digital, they can be a little bit more creative with how they do this. It's not like it's going to be a motion comic or anything like that, but they're not going to animate it, but from what I can understand, these Infinite Comics will kind of explore some different ways of telling a sequential story, but by using the digital media. So I don't know what that means, but
so is this something that would be like a different approach, more so for the artist than the writer, to make this a viable, interesting tool?
I don't know. I mean, I think it would be both, because the way that you tell the story through the script would depend, you know, that those people are the ones who are kind of plotting out loosely what panels are going on and those kind of things, and then the artist is kind of translating that. So I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like or what it's going to mean. And then there was also something about a Marvel AR, and I don't know what AR was. They were talking about augmented reality, and I don't know what that means, that they were going to launch a new app for digital devices, and it was going to be some new way to interact with Marvel. I mean, the news just came out, but I don't really know.
I mean, just sell me a good book, Marvel. Just sell me a good book.
Right.
I don't want to interact more. I don't want to meet the publisher. I don't want a fancy 3D book. Just give me some quality that justifies being charged $2.99 to $3.99 per book.
Right. The the new, I mean, the I guess whatever it is, they're going to launch their first book, and it's going to be, it looks like a Nova book.
Yeah. An Avengers versus X-Men tie-in starring Nova.
Yeah, yeah, with Stuart Immonen on art.
And Mark Waid.
And Mark Waid writing. Yeah, so that is interesting. I don't know what that means at all. And they didn't release how much that would cost. You know, how much are these infinite comics going to cost? Of course, they didn't put that in there. So I'm thinking
they're probably still working out a price point.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, because it's original material. You can't get it anywhere else. So of course they're gonna.
The app is free.
Of course, yeah. The app is always free. So, well, very interesting. We'll stay abreast of the situation as it continues, and maybe
abreast.
And maybe they will listen to us and start putting comics on for 99 cents.
One can only hope.
Even back issues for 99 cents, but instead, right now they only have like Marvel Mondays or something like that, where some of the, they take a certain section and say this is 99 cents. But even that, like, I don't know. So it's kind of weak. So anyway, those are our news items for the week, and we'll have more coming up next week. For those of you who are a little unfamiliar with the Contest of Champions, it's this is a superhero game that Cape Killer, Ian, and I created about 5 years ago, and we just really wanted to talk about who would beat up who in a fight. And so for this round, for this season, we're using an Iron Man cap, which means that none of the characters can be more powerful than Iron Man. So five managers have drafted five characters apiece, hoping to be able to convince Ian and me and the listeners out there who the toughest are in any given situation. So go back and listen to the draft or episode one, and go and check out comicattack.former.com and look up the forum, the thread that is appropriately titled COC Podcasts. So also on the forum, there is a section called Ask the COCers, and we have one question that is from our good friend and former COCer himself from back in the day, Mr. John Hensley, Shin Valley Initiative. And his question is, what is everyone's opinion of the best and worst retcons in the history of comicdom? And if you could change the bad one, if it still stands, how would you do so?
I like how you threw that in there.
How would you do so? He said, no lazy answers. Get creative. So, do you want me to go first, or are y'all ready?
Go ahead, and I'll let you go first.
My worst retcon has to be the resurrection of Magneto most recently. And if you remember, I'm actually a fan of the Grant Morrison run on New X-Men because I felt like it was really well done and new and breathed some newness into that franchise. And one of the great things that I never saw it coming was that Zorn was Magneto, and he that was a long con that he played in that book. And so when Zorn finally reveals himself to be Magneto, and this whole time he's been Professor Xavier walking he was keeping his spine together. The story was that Zorn could heal him, and that Zorn healed him, but instead he had little mechanical nanobots or something that were basically holding his spine together so that he could walk, and so he cut the strings and Xavier collapsed, and it was this great panel of the Zorn helmet floating up, and then you get the reveal that it was made. It was such a good issue. I mean, I just was like, oh my god, and literally 2 months later, they retconned it and said because it wasn't 2 months, it was a few months later, but that when Grant Morrison left the book, and then the new there was an Excalibur book which had nothing to do with Excalibur. It was basically Xavier and Magneto on trying to rebuild Genosha. But what they revealed at the first issue of that was that wasn't really Magneto, but that Zorn was posing as Magneto, posing as Zorn.
Yeah.
And it just took everything out. It took all of the air out of that wonderful reveal. It was just so stupid, and I felt like it was lazy. It was they got scared and they just threw something together. They got Chris Claremont to put it together, and it just was very poorly done. And so if I could fix it, I would have let Magneto be dead for a long time, and I don't know how I necessarily would have brought him back, but maybe in the House of M, because that happened a little bit later, then possibly Wanda recreates Magneto or something like that. Like that could have happened, and Magneto could have been back into the continuity. But I hated that. I just hated that retcon. So. I don't have a best retcon, so I'll swing it to you guys. Dan?
I don't have a best one either. Not off the top of my head, anyways. Okay. As far as you know, bad retcons go, I wouldn't say it was really bad, but you know, it has to be the whole Spider-Man, Mephisto, Brand New Day, One More Day retcon thing.
Yeah.
Which technically wasn't a retcon, I guess. It's still kind of stupid.
Sure, it was a retcon. It retconned the marriage.
The marriage. Yeah.
Well, it retconned it, but it wasn't like a retcon as if it didn't happen. It just kind of like within the comics, it still happened, but Mephisto just made everybody forget about it. It was kind of that's what I found kind of stupid about it. But what really pissed me off was that I was really liking the Spider-Man character and Peter up to that point. Personally, a lot of people were saying that he was written into a corner, and I don't think that he was. He was at his most powerful. He was finally grown up. You know, he was a valid superhero. He wasn't just a guy walking around like, you know, to me, he belonged more on the Avengers before the whole Mephisto thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, the dumbest part of that retcon I found was bringing Harry Osborn back to life because he was basically useless. They didn't even use, like, where is he now? They didn't even use him for anything except for Lily Hollister, who became pregnant. She was some sort of goblin, had some sort of goblin baby. Where's that baby now? Like, where's Lily Hollister? Where's Harry Osborn? Yeah. While Norman's off, you know, invading the rest of the Marvel Universe, that whole cast, that whole story arc just kind of got dropped. You know, it was the biggest and dumbest part of that retcon.
Right. All right, speech?
Well, hold on. Didn't Norman, like, tuck the baby and her away?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, that was a while ago. Like, when's that going to resurface?
I never even read that. So
it's been a while. Yeah, she was pregnant. Norman knew Harry was all freaked out, but that's when he was also wearing the other armor too. Harry was for a minute, and you're right. It's like, well, we're just gonna put that on the back burner and hope everybody forgets it.
Right.
Yeah, and there was the big hunt for the baby too. Doc Ock was after. That was part of the whole gauntlet thing, if I remember correctly too, or just before it, or just after it. Spider-Man was trying to hide the baby because all these, all these villains were coming after Lily Hollister's baby because Dr. Octopus wanted it.
Right. Hmm. All right, speech.
Well, I would say, one, you already picked mine. I mean, the Zorn one was a bit that was just weak storytelling.
Yeah.
At its finest, that was backpedaling. that was just an example of how not to do a retcon for any writer, any company. Marvel was like, okay, we're going to show you how not to do it and piss everyone off.
Right.
It just shows, like you said, I mean, just lack of balls to stick with the story.
Right.
You know, and it kind of reminded me of every time they brought Jean Grey back. I'm just still shocked that she's been dead this long.
Yeah.
You know, but that was quite horrible because they had something viable, something good, something to actually shock the fans. And it's pretty hard to shock longtime readers.
That's right.
I mean, we've pretty much seen it all.
Right.
And I really don't have a good, like a retcon that made me say, wow, I'm glad they changed that.
Well, you know, honestly, looking back, I mean, I'll have to say a good retcon. In my mind, just because I grew up with this history. I mean, for long, long time fans, probably this probably will piss them off. But I don't mind the resurrection of Jean Grey, the whole cocoon, and, you know, that the Phoenix, that it wasn't really her that died, but she was replaced and put in the cocoon at the bottom of Hudson Bay. But
the first time that happened, that was awesome because she didn't come back until the X-Factor series. I just feel like Marvel decided to, hey, we're going to just do it again and again. And we're running out of story to, hey, let's kill Jean again.
Right, right. Well, you know, to me, that would actually make a really fun comic book is if they bring her back during, I mean, it looks like she's coming back in Avengers versus X-Men, or the Phoenix is. What would be a great thing would be to, like, have Jean like die every episode, like, I mean, kind of like a, you know, they killed Kenny kind of thing, but and maybe not forever, but I mean, like, but just have her continually die and I don't know, just to get over the whole dying and resurrection. I mean, it's so dumb in the 616 universe. I mean, it's the whole death and resurrection thing is so stupid anyway. They either need to not have any deaths for a while or they need to just make light of the fact that nobody really dies. So,
but, or actually have the balls to kill off a character and let them stay dead. They're bringing back Captain Marvel. Not happy about that. But that's, you know, that's different, but still.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I know there were a couple in DC that actually aggravated me for the little bit that I did read DC back then. But there was one with Superboy, and I know there was like another one with Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
The whole Parallax thing and all that. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Well, and you could kind of debate whether or not this, I mean, the new reboot, which is kind of a retcon in some ways, right? If that's an effective retcon or not, I don't know.
I don't know. There may need to be another word invented for what DC is doing for this. I mean, it's.
I'd say reboot is really.
I don't know if it's an odd. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's the new DC 52 universe now. They're not even calling it like their original one. So is it just a parallel universe story that we're focusing on now?
For some reason, I can't keep track of Earth 1, Earth 2, all that crap. I can't. I just can't.
But there's just as many multiverses in Marvel.
But see, why can't I remember those? I can remember the version, but I mean, part of it is the numbers. I can't remember the numbers. Like, I know 616, but I can't remember, like, what the designation for the Age of Apocalypse is. And
295.
Thank you. Yeah, I knew you would know. But... but, like, you know, I can't keep those straight. But I don't mind having a multiverse. I don't mind that in Marvel. But I can't keep track of the DC ones. So it's all just one. That's kind of why I liked Crisis on Infinite Earths, because they just kind of made it all one. I liked that. So that's another retcon that actually worked. So.
Yeah, some of the Crisis titles pissed off long-term fans for a while.
Yeah, that's true. Well, if you have any other interesting, wonderful questions, please send them to us. Write them, post them in the Ask the COCers thread in the comicattack.former.com forum. Now, tonight's fight features Wolverine, managed by a hairy Canuck in his own right, Dan, and the Living Laser, who is managed by someone who might just be the fifth Ninja Turtle himself, Infinite Speech.
Steve.
Stefano, yeah. Speech. Now, Speech was scheduled to as the home team, and determined that tonight's fight will take place at the Sword Space Station, the Peak Set, Peak Seven, and you can go to comicattack.former.com to learn more about the fighters and the environment, and be sure to listen to the whole podcast and voting and all that stuff. We'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the show. But before the fight, I'm teasing a little bit here. That's what I'm doing. It is our tradition here on COC Live for all the participants to choose one fight from the week's comics that we consider to be the highlight fight of the week. So I'm going to go ahead and toss out Ian's fight of the week. Which is from X-Men number 26, and that is the mystery assassin who shows up to take out Rizzo Kodo, who is the vampire, the leader of the Forgiven, which is a group of vampires. And it is Lord Deathstrike, who is my new favorite bad guy, because he showed up in two books this past week. And he takes out everybody. I mean, he is so hardcore. He is just great. Created by Jason Aaron, but this is the first time he's been used in another X-Men book. And so, just a really, really cool fight. So yeah, he takes out all the X-Men and the Forgiven, and is headed for Rizzo. So that's a pretty cool fight.
Did he show up in Wolverine this week too?
He also showed. Well, he showed up at the end, kind of, to just. I guess he's, yeah, gonna be in a couple of issues, or maybe next issue. So Speech. What about you, buddy?
All right, for mine, it was pretty light on the fights, but I would have to go with I would say the Age of Apocalypse number one.
Uh huh.
Just the entire scrap there. I mean, just you've got Prophet, who was like William Stryker, who took out Sabretooth. It was just beautiful in like two or three moves. You know, he tells him he relied too much on his healing factor to get him through scraps, and his technique is basically sloppy, and he just beats the hell out of Sabretooth in like, I don't know, like two moves. It took a couple seconds, yeah. And then you've got their version of Daredevil, who is, I guess, passing as a mutant, but takes on the team, and he just, I mean, he handles these guys like a pro, and it's probably one of the coolest that I've seen Daredevil in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were the top two for me.
That's nice. Good job, Dan.
My fight of the week comes from Amazing Spider-Man 681. Don't know if it actually qualifies as a fight per se, but it's Spider-Man versus J. Jonah Jameson. They don't actually trade fists or even, like, you know, any hard words or anything. But Dan Slott knows how to write a heavy words. And I thought that those heavy words really found their right spot in this story. After Jameson finds out that Spider-Man is aboard the space station, he is quick to blame the Webhead as the reason why his son John is stranded there. When the situation takes a turn for the worse, Max Modell tries to keep the hope alive and tells J. Jonah Jameson that he should have faith in Spider-Man because he's pulled off the impossible before. So this is where Dan Slott's lines up his Homer. If I can quote Triple J, he says, "You don't get it, do you, Modell? Spider-Man was 10 feet away from my wife when she was killed. And if he can't save John, then he better go down with him. Because if Spider-Man lets my son die, I'll never forgive him." So the next panel has Spidey's monologue reflecting exactly what Jameson said. And he says to himself, "If any of these people die, I will never forgive myself. Of course, I'll be dead too, so there's that." you know, and the impact of what I just described there might be lost on those who might not have read ASM 654, 655 when Jonah's wife died. But it would, it just brought these two characters home for me in the little space story team up with Johnny Storm that Spidey's having here, this little adventure. It just solidifies the relationship between Spidey and Triple J. These two are so intertwined in each other's lives, more than either of them even realize. So when a writer like Slott can pull off these subtle but great scenes between Jameson and Spider-Man, it makes being a Spidey fan all worth it. So, yeah, that's it. That's my fight of the week.
Nice. Nice. Well, we covered Amazing Spider-Man 680, the first part of that story, on the last episode of Tales from the Water Cooler, which you can also get on comicattack.net. And
great issue.
Not a great issue.
It was a great issue.
It was
not a great not a great two part story. Very 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 bad.
Did you even read the second part?
I did. Didn't like it either.
Awesome.
So my fight of the week comes from, speaking of a good comic book, my fight of the week comes from Avengers, The Children's Crusade number 9, wrapping up. Actually, my main pick was exactly what Speech said, Age of Apocalypse number 1, and that little scene with Prophet versus Sabretooth. That was great. But my backup one was Avengers Children's Crusade number 9, which wraps up this long – you know what? Y'all know I write – the reviews for the X-Men books on comicattack.net, and this series has been going on so long that we didn't even cover the first issue. We covered the second issue when we started it, but we did not cover the first issue. So nope. So this series has been going on a really long time, almost 2 years. We're on our 80th Uncanny X-Piles. So
I honestly think they stretched it out just for the Avengers versus X-Men story that's coming out.
Now that
you put it together, and because I know they were like, well, there's some hints to it and everything. I'm like, so they just stretched it out for no reason.
It took place, the first couple issues took place during Siege. Because I remember there was all this conversation about when does this take place, and all the events of Siege were either just going on or they had just finished. And anyway, Siege was a long time ago. And But anyway, the scene that I really enjoyed was that Iron Lad, who is a founding member of the Young Avengers, and also the future Kang the Conqueror, gets really angry because Cassie Lang... spoiler warning for those who might not have read it. Cassie Lang, her codename Stature, daughter of Scott Lang, the former Ant-Man, dies. Dr. Doom kills her. And so she's...
No!
I know, yeah. And so she dies, and Iron Lad... there's a little bit of a love triangle between Iron Lad, Cassie, and the young Vision. And after she dies, Iron Lad gets really upset and says, you know, we can go back, we can fix this, I can go back through the time stream and I can do this, which he has a really good point, because throughout this whole series, they've been doing that. They've been jumping back and forth in time and all this stuff. But then all of a sudden, everybody's like, it was kind of like, we don't really want to resurrect Cassie. It's not really worth going back in time. It's really not worth going back in time or taking her body to the future and having it healed or whatever. But Vision steps up to kind of challenge Iron Lad, and Iron Lad completely destroys him. I mean, Iron Lad is the one who created this version of the Vision, and he completely dismantles him. And so the young version of the Vision is gone. Which really is only because the regular Vision has been recreated in the new or in Avengers. So, you know, that was kind of cheesy, but I did like the fight. It was beautifully drawn by Jim Chung, and so now the Young Avengers are no more. They are disassembled.
Oh. After this.
So, kind of. They're kind of, I guess at the end, they're actually made regular Avengers, but I don't know what that's going to mean. So.
They've graduated?
Well,
finally?
They kind of said, yeah, they basically kind of said, y'all are no real, y'all are not, Captain America says to them, y'all, the four remaining Avengers, because your buddy Patriot actually quits. So Wiccan and Hulkling and
just totally ruining the story for me because I'm going to buy it in trade. But thank you, sir.
Okay, well, I said spoiler.
The spoiler has struck again.
The spoiler has struck again. Kate Bishop and who's the fourth one? Crap. Anyway, I'm losing who the fourth.
That's okay. I wouldn't want you to fully ruin the story for me.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know why I'm blanking on that. But anyway,
because that's my mutant power.
Okay, that's what you did. Okay, so anyway, they are kind of, well, he kind of symbolically says, y'all aren't young Avengers. You are Avengers, and it has the little logo there. But that it doesn't know. Who knows what that means? If they'll go to Avengers Academy or who knows.
It means they get to sit and watch the monitors on the base when there's a real attack.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. So
unlike Scott, who sends the kids into battle.
There you go.
That's right.
We wish we were X-Men. Scott lets those kids fight.
yeah. So if you have a fight of the week, be sure to visit the forums again and let us know what your fight of the week was. We always like to know that. So, and also you can go on the forums and pick out what your pick of the week was in that thread. There's a read of the week thread there, so you can do that as well. So are you guys ready to fight? You guys ready for this?
Oh yeah!
All right. Well, on to the main event: Wolverine versus Living Laser. I have the coin. It's not a Canadian coin.
Oh yes, finally.
I know.
Coin I recognize.
It's an American quarter, which has the head. Just because we always describe what's on the coin, it has the head of George Washington and the beautiful spread eagle on the back. So I do believe that Dan gets to call it. Am
yep.
I right on that?
Yep.
Because. Last week we made Tom call it and he was not the home team, so heads or tails, bud.
As much as I like being spread eagle, I'm going to go with George Washington.
All right. Oh, look, our friend Ian is here. I'm going to add him to the call before we get started with this. But I'm going to go ahead and flip the coin.
All right.
Hey, Ian.
Hey.
Welcome back, buddy.
How's it going?
The we're in the middle of the coin toss, and Dan picked heads.
Heads.
Right?
Right.
Yep.
And it is tails. So. Speech, you get to decide. There's a wicked echo.
Is that an echo? I hear him.
I believe it is from our friend Ian.
Is it me?
It must be, because it wasn't here before.
I don't hear an echo at all.
Okay, now it's fine.
I think it's gone. Yeah.
Okay.
It's gone.
So,
all right, I will defer to my opponent.
All right.
Damn.
The kind of gentleman that I am.
Okay. Well, at first when I found out I was, Wolverine was taking on the Living Laser, I was a bit afraid. But then I read up on Living Laser, and I wasn't so afraid anymore.
Wow.
You should be.
Yeah. I don't know. First, I'll start with the environment. I mean, if the crew of S.W.O.R.D., who would they most likely be inclined to help? A super villain called the Living Laser or Wolverine? I think they'd probably end up siding with Wolverine. In the case of reading up on the Living Laser's greatest weaknesses happens to be a mirror. Apparently a mirror can take this guy down fairly easily. So he's been constantly defeated by the likes of Iron Man, War Machine, Hank Pym. My you know, go-to scene here of him being taken down easily would be through New Avengers 61 and 62, where Bucky slash Captain America basically took. I didn't think this guy could get punched, but Luke Cage just kind of sucker punched him, and then they defeated him with a wire, and he sort of disappeared after that. So that made me think he's not really as dangerous as, I mean, the guy's made of light. He's a living laser. He shoots laser lights. Nothing that Wolverine can't handle. So in my scenario, I would have Wolverine and the living laser, of course, facing off on Sword. I think the living laser has speed going for him, but that would just make him catch up to Wolverine that much quicker. I don't think he could take him out with any sort of offensive move. He can't use any holograms or such to try and trick Wolverine, because he'll just sniff that out. He could, you know, if there's no smell to a hologram, then he knows it's just a hologram. I think Wolverine would try as Bucky Cap did, and use himself to basically be a conduit, you know, get into close quarters with Living Laser and hit some live wiring and act as a conductor to zap the living wire back into the living laser back into his photon dimension, or wherever he, you know, gets his power from. It's that quick and dirty.
Speech.
I knew you'd resort to all of that. Now, I mean, it's all well and good, and it's nice that you recanted a lot of his old abilities and his old weaknesses. However, he has received a significant power upgrade in the past several months. And you're right, he does have speed going for him, which also would allow him to travel along the outside of the space station if he need be. Because the bottom line is, he doesn't care if he kills anybody here, and he can just actually use his power to actually burn through anyone that's in his way. And this is a pretty huge space station. Wolverine has a lot of ground to cover. A lot of ground to cover. If you look at the picture of the peak, it's just vast, and it would take you quite some time to have to, you know, walk the whole thing, take your tubes. The laser can traverse the corridors so much faster, and he can actually rip in and out of the environment, making that an even bigger hindrance to Wolverine. And I think they also keep other alien criminals on the peak as well, so helping to weaken the defenses and all that. Wolverine and the crew would have to also contend with anyone that is let out of their cages. So he's also got to face them. But case in point, I mean, if they do come to each other, Wolverine doesn't have an offensive ability that can stop the laser. He doesn't have a corporeal body. And, I mean, honestly, he's kind of booby-trapped, and that's set on by the Mandarin. So, I mean, he's the only one that can blow the guy up from the inside. And, I mean, I know you said that he's been taken out by Iron Man. He just beat the snot out of Tony just, I think, in the last – well, no, two issues ago in Invincible Iron Man. Tony couldn't catch him. He was thrown off guard. He recognized immediately – that he had a power up, and his attacks were null and void. Because, like I said, Mandarin has juiced this guy up and actually made him a contender. And I know it was brought up that he was taken out in Avengers versus X-Men. Well, not Avengers versus X-Men, but X-Sanction 1. Like I said, all of that was prior to his upgrade that he did receive. So you've got a guy who can live in space, wreck the space station, destroy life support, doesn't need it, and can basically have killed every single person on the space station and still just be fine. Whereas Wolverine is out of his element, and he'll be dead. He'll just sit there. He'll suffocate, implode, whether the laser wants to just burn straight through him or just go at light speed and rip through the entire space station, destroying everything, and he'll just float there and then zoom on back to Earth later on. Like I said, there's no definitive way Wolverine can stop this guy, even on Sword, even with the help of Sword agents.
Okay. What else? Any rebuttal there, Dan?
Are we still doing rebuttals?
Well, now it's kind of you give your rationales, and then it's kind of a free-for-all. Y'all can just discuss.
Oh, gotcha. To what extent was it shown that the Mandarin has, like, what new powers does a living laser have other than, is it just a boost of what he already has, or does he have new abilities, or?
He's pretty much still a living laser, but he's stronger, faster, a little bit more durable. Like, Tony's attacks had no effect on him. I mean, he outmaneuvered Tony, though they were in a more open environment. But I mean, he outmaneuvered him. And like I said, the first thing you noticed was that the speed increase was phenomenal on this guy.
Sorry, Gid, I was distracted. You're talking about Invincible Iron Man right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
5.12, I believe. 5.11, 5.12.
One of those two, because they're on 5.13 now, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, he took out Tony.
But from what I could see, though, that's basically he elbowed him in the chest reactor and took him down that way, gave him a cardiac arrest. But
that's right. He's dirty. He doesn't have to play nice. He's dirty.
Wolverine fights dirtier.
Right. But see, Wolverine isn't going to risk the lives of everybody on that station just to get at the living laser. See, that's another thing, too. You got an environment filled with basically innocent people. Even if Wolverine goes up against some of the freed, captured aliens that are on board, yeah, he'll rip through them, but they're also going to be tying up S.W.O.R.D. agents. Living Laser does not care. He will wreck this entire space station to win and kill everybody on board. And he can do it. Because like I said, Wolverine cannot travel on the outside of the space station. Living Laser can just skim the surface, causing structural damage internal, like I said, and life support would probably be one of those things that would go. And since Wolverine can't just get a hand on him, I mean, what's he gonna do? Slice him with the claws? That won't stop him.
He's been decapitated before by Bucky's shield.
Again, before the upgrade.
Yeah, watch in about three issues of Iron Man.
did it stop him?
Well, it slowed him down.
There you go. He was slowed down. It didn't stop him. It didn't put him out completely. This guy has no corporeal body. I mean, he is his name. He's not like, you know, Mr. Fantastic, who really isn't all that fantastic. He actually is a living laser.
A laser. That's what I always think of when I hear.
You do the air quotes too?
Uh-huh.
He's a laser.
Why is speech coming down so hard on Mr. Fantastic? That's not right.
No. Reed isn't even in this fight.
No, I'm just saying he should be renamed, you know, Mr. Adequate.
Not according to Sue.
Ooh.
Well, Sue's too busy with the fish boy, so, you know, that's sad. But anyway, back to the living laser beating on Wolverine. Because, I mean, that is what it would come down to. Logan can't save everybody on the space station. Everybody on it is doomed. Logan is doomed. Living Laser will rip this place apart. And like I said, he can live in space. He's a lot faster than Logan. Logan won't even be able to get his hands on the living laser. And that'll be another problem because Logan is nowhere near as fast as Tony in his suit. So, I mean, if Tony, who was in an augmented suit, can barely keep up with the living laser, the all great and powerful Wolverine, who is just a regular mutant male with no speed enhancements, won't be able to touch this guy at all.
He can send
a beam straight through Logan's eye to the brain, because it's not like nobody knows Logan's powers or abilities. So, I mean, he can burn out his eyes. I mean, yeah, sure, they'll grow back, but I mean, hell, he can burn through his chest. He can actually immobilize Wolverine to the point to where he's going to take a while regenerating. He can burn all the flesh from the body, leaving nothing but that one drop of blood or the cell or however they've augmented his healing factor now.
And you got all of that from that one issue of Invincible Iron Man?
No, he's a living laser. I mean, and the fact that I also know that he can't touch him, he's too fast. This was even before the power upgrades. There's no way Logan would be able to touch this guy at all.
But Luke Cage punched him in the face. And Bucky hit him with a shield. So even though he can go intangible, he has been sucker punched. I mean, him and four other guys went up to Stanford there, and the speedball was taking care of these guys until he got overwhelmed. But it doesn't mean that, he
Luke
couldn't
Cage
hold his own against
Luke Cage is significantly
them.
Stronger than Logan, and Bucky
oh, just,
got
just
the
bionic fact that he
arm.
Touched him. Just the fact that, yeah, but no, it was the shield that decapitated him.
And he
so I'm just talking. Saying he can get punched. He's been punched before, even though he can go intangible. He doesn't always go intangible, and he isn't always intangible.
He gets cut, but he's not stopped. You cut off Wolverine's head, and that's pretty much all she wrote. I mean, there's no more bub, no more cigar chomping, no more beer drinking, none of that. It's a wrap, and it's done. Like I said, Logan has no defense. He can't move fast enough to even stop the mass amount of destruction the living laser would cause on the station. He can't move fast enough to actually tag him. Because like I said, back then, when he was tapped by Luke Cage and hit with the M-Shield by Bucky, he hadn't had his speed increase yet.
Well, he was still boosted by the Hood's magic, though.
Yeah, but that was the Hood's magic, and the Hood is corny compared to Mandarin. Mandarin's juiced him up. So the guy is, like I said, he's significantly faster and stronger. Like I said, Logan wouldn't be able to touch him unless he wanted him to. But like I said, he could also just skim the surface of the space station, ripping it apart or rip enough of it apart. And I know it's probably got the self-sealing, but there's only so many seals you could probably go through before it's just, all right, man, we're done. You're blowing us up. We know what's about to happen.
Kid, do you have any issues of anything that shows the living laser living in space, like being able to survive in deep space?
I don't have any like on hand, but I know I have seen him in space a couple times. And it was probably late 80s in the Avengers. I don't say like he was like living in space, but
nobody was able to survive.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I when I was reading up on him, they not that I want to defend the laser, but the way he was defeated is that they had basically sucked him into this laser cannon that shot him something like, 2 million light years away from Earth. So it's
yes,
presumed
they had to
that he
away.
make yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't defeat him. They had to send him 2 million light years away. He travels at the speed of light, so he should have just said, "Hey, I'll be back in a few months, all right?" they couldn't defeat him. They were like, "Look, we just got to send this guy far away. Well, we can't beat him. He's annoying. Let's just zap him." And he came right back.
But this guy's, like, even still, he's always getting his ass handed to him. He's got no fighting prowess. He doesn't have – he's not a big strategy guy. He just kind of comes at you, and usually that's his biggest mistake.
Juggernaut isn't a big strategist either. He just rips through people and beats
them. Yeah, but there's a difference between living laser and Juggernaut.
What? The fact that they're both just blunt instruments and they can just rip crap apart?
But the living laser isn't a blunt instrument. He's not Dazzler.
He does not just throw up sparklers. He's not Jubilee either. Oh, I'm sorry. Her powers have now been refined too. Even, she went from throwing firecrackers to like just blowing up people.
No, now she's a vampire.
Yeah, and now, the ultimate transcending is now to become a vampire. You haven't made it until you're a vampire now.
So true.
But I still have not heard a definitive way that Logan can beat the living laser. I mean, you've had teams having to, like you just said, shoot him millions of miles away in space, yeah. Light years away. I mean,
they caught him with a room full of mirrors.
Wolverine does not have, yes, but like I said, that was in the 80s. That wasn't like last month, 2 months ago, last year. He's smarter, faster, and he's learned from his mistakes. So I need to know, what does Logan have besides the claws, the bad attitude, and the hair that's going to knock out the living laser? Because as I stated,
body odor.
That's just mean.
He's the best he is at what he does. And what he does is stink.
I think you're assuming men with a lot of body hair don't smell that good.
Speak from experience, my friend.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. You wrestle a lot of hairy Canadians?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. No. I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, I know he's been perceived as a chump back in the day, but it's a new day now. And he is...
Wait three issues. Tony will do something stupid.
Yes,
and
right,
beat him.
But we're talking current continuity right now. He is beating that ass. And current continuity right now in this match shows that he is just dominating Logan this entire match here in the Sword Space Station. Wolverine can't touch him because he can't catch him. When I said he can't touch him, I don't mean like, you know, if the living laser just stood there, he couldn't, you know, like physically reach out, shake his hand, pat him on the back, or put a claw.
No, you're saying the laser won't get close enough for him to touch him.
I'm saying the laser is too, he can maneuver fast enough at pinpoint range that Logan would swing and a miss. And during all that, his eyes are getting burnt out. He's getting his lungs ripped out. They're being burnt and seared and singed. The hole is being damaged. I mean, it's just all kinds of carnage is going on. People are getting sucked out right before the blast doors shut. You know.
See, this is a hard fight because Wolverine is consistently written as the winner because he's the winner. You know, he's the hero. And Living Laser is consistently being written as the loser because he's a loser. The living loser instead of the living laser. Anyway,
in every one of his appearances, though, the living laser is sort of his powers change and he's changed, but he always gets beat. So this is why I'm thinking this time is no different. What's so different about this power up compared to a power up he's had before, and the power up he's had the day before that, and the power up before that? You know, he still gets punched in the face. He still gets taken out by, you know, some live wire that was just hanging around, or he gets decapitated by a shield, or he gets sucked into a laser, or held down by a mirror. I think there's a way that Wolverine will figure out. He just needs to get in the same room as him, and he'll use himself as a conduit to swipe, take down, and use
the claws won't work here. He swings the claws through him, and what's going to happen? Nothing. There's no way Logan can beat him. Logan is meat and potatoes. He's a brawler. I mean, he's got no energy based attacks. He's got no reality warping moves. He doesn't have any super speed. He can't touch the guy. He can't catch him. He's going to get singed, burned, and if that doesn't work, laser is killing everybody on the space station. There's nothing Logan can do about it. And then Logan gets sucked out in space. What's he going to do then? The laser's going to sit there with his arms folded, giggling, and watch Logan die in space. So sad. Which is why, you know, healing factor or not, he'll die in space.
All right.
No way around that.
Anything else?
Dan, do you read Invincible Iron Man?
No.
How dare you? How dare you not read about the drunken Avenger?
Is he drunken, though?
Is he drinking?
Yeah.
He started. That's how he, yeah, in Fear Itself.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Good.
Fear Itself would, you know, drive anybody to the bottle. Yeah, isn't that right, Jeff?
I was just about to say, it did me. Anyway, Well, I think it's important for the listeners out there to understand that the fighters are both being teleported from into the environment on opposite ends of the environment, and the fighters have full disposal of any and all resources available in the environment. The fighters aren't allowed to leave the environment, but teleportation and flyers are not considered as leaving the environment. And lastly, the winner should be determined based on the fact that he or she has subdued the opponent's subdued the opponent's fighter. So subduing can be anything from restraining to killing. So I probably should have said that before you guys started, but for those of you who are listening to this and considering the fight at home, those are kind of our ground rules for how the fight kind of takes place. So next week, we will have with us Eli Anthony, who hasn't been here in a few weeks, and he'll face off against Tom McNeely, who is the home team. So it will be a good fight. But you can go, listeners can go and talk about. There will be a post on or a post in the forum on Wolverine versus Living Laser. So you can go there. You can talk about it. You can put your info in. Anything else that maybe one of the managers missed or something that might convince me or Ian or the other listeners out there. So go there and talk about it. Last week's conversation about Professor X versus Venom was fantastic. So keep the conversation going, and it'll be interesting to hear what folks have to say about Wolverine versus Living Laser. So
if they're smart, they'll just say the laser will win.
The living loser. So Ian, how was the hockey game, buddy?
It was good. It was a it was a nail biter.
Really?
Yeah, 1-0 shutout. The home team, my team, shutout.
Wow.
Nice.
It was good. It was That's good.
Great. And how was the throwing out the hockey puck?
Everything was exciting. Drank lots of beer. I got a parking ticket.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh.
What the hell?
It's a great way to cap off an evening.
I know. I thought I was like the celebrity there. Like, seriously.
Right.
I got a parking ticket?
That sucks.
Whatever.
That sucks. Well, anyway. Well, Ian, do you want to kick off our power rankings conversation?
I do. I would love to. Yeah. Last week, we introduced a new segment to our show called the COC Power Rankings, where Jeff and
power
I...
Power Rankings!
Dude, you got to forewarn me when you're going to do that.
I'm going to scare the poor guy.
Yeah, you just woke up my kids.
Sorry.
Jeff and myself, we take it upon ourselves to rank 5 new characters each week in terms of who's the toughest. If you'd like to submit a character to be ranked or just want to tell us how stupid we are for the choices that we've made, make sure you log in at comicattack.former.com and tell us what you think in the COC thread labeled Power Rankings. And the way that it works is each week we're going to introduce 5 new characters, and they just get kind of slid into our old list. So we're hoping that by the end of the season, we have, you know, a good meaty list of characters. So tonight's 5 nominees are Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu, Spider-Man, Deadpool, Daredevil, and Black Panther. And I fully expect there to be some real heavy, heavy name calling
Holy crap! This week, the you want to look at forums that have lots of conversation in it. The Power Rankings had more conversation than any forum ever.
Because all you guys were wrong.
Well, maybe, but it's our opinion that counts, right? So.
Well, no. Jeff, you're selling us short here.
Okay.
Speech. You forget the simple fact that me and Jeff, we are the experts.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So you say you're experts in some things and layman in others.
No. Like when for instance, when it comes to Wolverine, right? I mean,
yeah. You're fighting an uphill battle there, pal.
All right.
You're just digging yourself deeper there too.
No, that's fine. That's fine because they throw up energy based opponents against Logan all the time because he just would win.
So you're saying that Wolverine wins?
Okay, that's
I'm
it.
I'm figuring he could actually take Good out night, the folks. Silver Surfer and, Galactus with one arm tied behind his back. Just because he's Wolverine.
Probably.
It's like when he was, I don't know if you know Gid, but he was at point zero there when they dropped the nuclear bomb for Hiroshima there. He was there.
He's at ground zero.
He was there. Yeah, he was there.
Yep.
Tough guy, fucking guy, eh? So tough.
Yeah, he is.
So power rankings.
Power rankings. Power rankings!
In stereo.
Okay. So, do you want me to go first, Jeff?
I think I went first last week, so you go first this week, and then I make the final decision, right?
You do. All right, kinda.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I was flexible. I gave you Hulk.
Okay, all right. We can be convinced. Okay, go for it.
Okay. So for me, what I'll do is I'll talk about the way I rank those five, and then I'll talk about, because I think more importantly of how I rank those five is how I rank those in the 10. Wouldn't you agree, Jeff?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
The way I slid them into the 10. So the way I rank these five is from first to worst. I rank them as Spider-Man on top, Deadpool second, Daredevil, then Shang-Chi, then Black Panther. So I know right now Infinite's probably just cringing in his seat that I put Shang-Chi and Black Panther last. But I see Spider-Man, to be honest with you, I see Spider-Man as the kind of guy who, you know, we make jokes about taking down Galactus and this kind of stuff like that. This isn't like when you go to the Marvel.com site and they have the stats set up there, and you know what I mean, in terms of, you know, strength and speed and agility and stuff like that. We're not ranking these characters based on that solely. I think we got to look at past history and look at those types of things. And I mean, any comic collector would be a fool not to admit that Spider-Man, he's one of those guys, just on any given day, he can beat anybody. You know what I mean? Like, his strength, he's got great strength, huge agility. He has ranged weapons. He doesn't, like, the only thing he can't do is fly, and he can almost do that even. Do you know what I mean? With his webs and stuff like that. When I look at someone like Sebastian Shaw, who draws strength from kinetic energy and stuff like that, I see Spider-Man as the kind of guy who could beat Shaw. So I actually rank Spider-Man really high in this. Deadpool, I put second. His healing factor is big. And I should talk about Deadpool and Daredevil together. I put Deadpool above Daredevil because in a seldom read miniseries called Contest of Champions #2, which probably nobody but me has read, it was a horrible, horrible, horrible series. Deadpool.
Yeah, some good books.
The one good thing about it was there were some good COC type matchups in it, and one of them was Deadpool versus Daredevil, and Deadpool, the way that he beats Daredevil is just fantastic in this book. He rigs up this baby with a bomb and pretends to steal it from this woman, and really it just turns out to be a, you know, toy baby and blah blah blah, and then Deadpool smacks down Daredevil. Shang-Chi, you know, I think one of the big convincers for me was when he was teaching, was it Spider-Man during
Spider-Island?
Yeah.
And then I could be wrong because I'm not completely done that book, because I got to be honest with you, I fucking hate it. It's brutal. But I'm pretty sure, doesn't Spider-Man, without his powers, at one point in time, almost like Neo in the Matrix, doesn't he kind of get the upper hand on Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
I looked at that, and I was like, okay, whatever. So this guy's got kung fu skills. Other than that, whatever, right? Black Panther, if you would have asked me this question like 10, 15 years ago, I probably would have had Black Panther at the top of this list. For me, Black Panther in the past 10 or 15 years in the comic world, he's become a monumental pussy. He used to be super cool, too cool for the Avengers. You know, he'd jump on their team, jump off, whatever, beat up all kinds of guys and stuff like that. The only guy I ever saw that beat him up ever was Wolverine, and that was in Contest of Champions 1. But since then, I have no confidence that Black Panther can beat up anybody anymore. He just seems like this background character, which is, I think it's really unfortunate, because he's a fantastic character with a rich history and a great power set. And I love everything about him. But unfortunately for me, I just haven't seen enough of this guy since the 80s to think that he could beat any of these guys on this list. So I won't say any more, except that what I'll do is I'll talk about my top 10 list, Jeff. And then I won't expand on that or anything anymore. So, cause I think there'll be lots of anger over my list, but the way that I think my list goes when I'm incorporating these guys with Thing and all those characters is I rank them in this way from top to bottom. Spider-Man is first, Sebastian Shaw second, then Thing, Hulkling, Warpath, Luke Cage, Deadpool, Daredevil, Shang-Chi, and Black Panther. And what I'll do is I'll expand on more of that in the forum.
That's weird you say that, because Black Panther just beat Luke Cage in hand-to-hand combat without having that Panther herb, now that he's only a peak human.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that Black Panther could beat Luke Cage in hand-to-hand combat. But the thing is Luke Cage is not going to punch Black Panther when they're sparring or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like the way he would punch Thing or something like that.
Right.
I think
it just
Luke
sounds
Cage
gross.
I think if Luke Cage was to actually fight Black Panther, like as though, you know, say Black Panther lost it and he was an evil villain or whatever, I think Luke Cage would pound the piss out of Black Panther. I don't see Black Panther being able to do anything against Luke Cage. Anyway, sorry, I said I wouldn't say any of this stuff. Okay. So,
all right. So I'm going to give my top five from bottom to top. All right. Just because I want to do that.
Rebel.
Yeah,
rebel.
I'm a rebel. So
remember, I know where you live, Jackson.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to start with Daredevil. I don't think – I think Daredevil is has got some tremendous great powers. He's a great fighter. He's got some tremendous hand-to-hand abilities. But we forget that he is still blind. And while he can see things, I mean, because of the radar, he can't see fully. And because even though his other senses are heightened, he still is blind. So to me, that's a tremendous.
You really have a thing against the handicap.
I guess I do. Yeah, I know. As I'm saying this, I'm like, dang man, I really must have something. But anyway. So I put him at the bottom. Deadpool, I put just a little bit above him. I think they're very equally matched, Deadpool and Daredevil. Deadpool's got lots of guns and lots of weapons. He's a weapons expert. And the healing factor really puts it over for me, because his healing factor is actually better than Wolverine's.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that puts him a little bit above of Daredevil for me. I actually put Black Panther smack dab in the middle of these five, because number one, I think he's a better hand-to-hand fighter than Daredevil. I've never seen him fight Deadpool, so I don't really know, but Deadpool is always shooting things. I can never really see what his hand-to-hand, even though I mean, his wiki says that he's a great hand-to-hand fighter, but we forget that Black Panther is one of the top, genius minds of the Marvel Universe. He's counted in that top seven of brilliant minds in the Marvel Universe. And
so he's like Batman.
He really is. I mean, he's
fun of there. That's not a compliment.
Oh, okay. Well, but anyway, I mean, he is a genius. He's functionally a genius, and also he's got the vibranium claws.
Doesn't have those anymore.
Oh, he doesn't. Well, okay. No. Well, crap. Okay. Well, then I could be convinced
that's why I said he's not superhuman anymore. He's peak human now.
Okay. Well. Mm-hmm. Okay, well then maybe I would drop him down then. I can be convinced of that. So, but I was putting him in the middle really because he's really brilliant and strategic. He's got a strategic mind, and to me that is an underutilized thing when we're talking about these fights. Is how well do these characters, how can they map out a fight, and how can they stay two or three or four steps ahead of their opponent and all of that? I think Black Panther has those abilities more so than Deadpool or Daredevil.
He's beating everybody on that list.
Yeah.
But okay. I still wouldn't rank him at the top guy, though.
Okay. Number two, Shang-Chi. Because Shang-Chi has the chi, and that guy can control that chi, And he, what a really underutilized character in the Marvel Universe. And to me, Shang-Chi is the greatest hand-to-hand fighter in the Marvel Universe. Now, in former COC fights, that has not he has not borne much fruit because he's not as flashy. He doesn't have a code name.
That's not true, though. It's because that's total bullshit.
What?
Shang-Chi is, oh my god. Any one of the immortal weapons would beat the fucking hell out of Shang-Chi.
I don't know.
Anyway, sorry, I'm stealing your. Sorry.
This is my opinion. This is my opinion. Shang-Chi, I think, is the premier kung fu fighter in the Marvel Universe. So it's debatable whether or not any of the other immortal weapons or any of the other hand-to-hand fighters.
That's not debatable.
So that's debatable to me. Finally, although I did see in Spider Island, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, that he did get taken down by Brad of Nine Spiders, but we're not going to go there. But all of that to say is that in terms of power, Shang-Chi has a tremendous amount of power. And the fact that he can control his chi and really be considered invulnerable because of the way that he can control his chi, I think that says a lot about him. But I agree with Ian. Spider-Man is the top of this heap. And look at his power set. I mean, first of all, the power that I think trumps any of these guys is his spider sense. He can move. He knows when danger. It's not just warning of danger, but like he can dodge bullets with this spider sense. He can dodge people's fights, and now especially because he's been trained by Shang-Chi, then he knows kung fu. His fighting level is at its peak. He's got his spider sense back. And plus I would consider him. If the seven great minds of the Marvel Universe, I would put Peter Parker at number eight, if not before that. I mean, especially now that he's working at Horizon Labs, he actually has time to work on things. His intelligence is only growing, and that's evidenced by the suits and the technology that he's starting to come up with to help him fight crime. The strength and his indomitable will. We forget about the fact that Peter has a will that cannot be stopped.
Use that word all day, haven't you?
I know.
Indomitable.
Indomitable. He has been taken down, and at the bottom of the barrel, but he always comes back. And it's not just because he's written that way. It's because he's been written to have a willpower that supersedes almost any. I mean, Marvel character. So, yes, Spider-Man is the most popular, one of the most popular Marvel characters of all time, if not the. But it's because his power set is the way it is, and the fights that he's in continually show what a powerful person he is and a character he is. It's really phenomenal. So, I'll throw in my folks in there. And this is what I came up with, but I think I might be able to put Black Panther down to where Ian's – maybe not all the way down. We might have to talk about that. So my number one, I still think, though, that Sebastian Shaw is – I think that dude is so super powerful because of his potential power. So I would put him above Spider-Man. So Shaw, Spider-Man, Thing, Shang-Chi, Black Panther – Hulkling, Deadpool, Warpath, Daredevil, Luke Cage. So Ian and I will have to talk about how we want to how we do that, because I might actually put Black Panther down now if what you're saying is true speech.
I mean, ever since Doom War and ever since he renounced being king of Wakanda, he's basically peak human now.
Right.
He still has, I mean, he still has full knowledge. I mean, the guy knows, I think it's at like 14, 15 various forms of martial arts from all over the world. He's still a great fighter. He just doesn't have the, he doesn't have those tracking heightened senses, you know, the smell, the eyesight and everything.
Okay, well then I'm putting him under Daredevil and above Luke
Cage.
Go ahead.
I'll tell a quick story real fast.
Yeah.
Growing up when I was collecting comics, one of my best friends collected comics with me. His name was Steve. And he was a guy, he's from South Africa, from Durban, South Africa. And his big thing was, I was, when we were playing, when we were little, I was always Wolverine. He was always Black Panther. Okay. And, when the first Contest of Champions came out, the very first, that mini came out, not Contest of Champions 2, but the original one, I'll never be able to get past a couple of fights that were in there. There's a few fights, they really stand out in my mind. And one of them was Black Panther and Wolverine. And what happened was Wolverine in Black Panther, they were going toe-to-toe pretty good. And what happened was Wolverine he went into his kind of, because he was losing the fight, he was went into his kind of berserker mode or whatever. And then he went to go kill Black Panther, like he was gonna end him. And then Thing from the Fantastic Four, who was on Wolverine's team, came and yanked Wolverine off of him so he wouldn't kill Black Panther. So for me, the forever tainted Black Panther in my eyes in terms of hand-to-hand. The other one that really tainted, and it's from the same book, might even be the same issue, was Daredevil fought Iron Fist out on the Arctic tundra, like they were out on this ice cap kind of thing in the Arctic, and Daredevil beat Iron Fist hand-to-hand on this ice cap. And I know that's, you know, we're talking like 1984 or something like that, but just from, you know, in terms of what resonates for me in terms of the comic world, those were some of the big ones. You know what I mean? And for me, for some reason, that has forever cemented itself in my mind in terms of Daredevil and hand in hand. Like I personally think when it comes to hand to hand fighting, Daredevil beats almost anybody.
Well, that's basically saying that just because of that, then Kingpin, who's beaten Daredevil in hand-to-hand, could knock out Iron Fist, which we just know wouldn't happen.
Well, I don't know.
Iron Fist can totally wipe the floor with Daredevil.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I know they did that no power sparring match in that new Avengers issue, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I don't put as much stock in Iron Fist as other people do. No, we're on a whole different topic here now. But.
Yeah. All right. So
great conversations ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about with this.
And, it already started.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, actually, Dan, your list was very close to mine.
Yeah, I was surprised actually that both of you guys put Spider. I was ready to start, you know, swinging fists at people. Considering what Shen Valley and Eli posted, and they both listed Spider-Man like way down on their list, and like these guys are fucking crazy putting Spider-Man so low.
Right.
Well, just in talking with you guys now, for the first time ever, I've kind of I always paired Batman in the DC universe with Captain America. I don't know why, but I've always paired them.
That's pretty fair, yeah.
But you know what? Now that we say this out loud, I think Spider-Man is Marvel's Batman. He's just this really balanced character who's got a little bit of everything, and it's just this perfect balance that's just enough for him to beat anybody on any given day. And I know you could say that about any character in the comic universe, but Spider-Man, I don't know why. And I don't even collect Spider-Man books. I don't care for the books at all. But he's just this character who, you know, they could write him beating anyone, and I wouldn't sit there and say, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, he's just got it in him. You know what I mean? Like, he can just, I don't know. He's got the tools.
I always think people forget that, you know, he's also super strong. He can lift.
He's really strong.
He can bench press a Volkswagen. Like, the, you know, he's not a ninny.
That's right.
This is not his first rodeo.
Exactly. You know,
Spidey being at the bottom of the list, I didn't agree with, because I feel that he should be at the top of that list. Mm-hmm. He really should.
Yeah.
Part of that is because of that indomitable will.
Yeah.
As Jeff so eloquently put it.
Yeah, he made Civil War, I thought.
Oh, I agree. Well, he was the power that swung it in the other direction. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, when he was on Tony's team was on top. When he was on Cap's team went on top. You know what I mean? Like,
he was the deciding factor. That's right. Yeah. So All right. Well, it was a great show, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening to episode number 22. And as always, go to comicattack.former.com and under COC to vote for who you think is most deserving to win tonight's fight. If you have any questions that you want answered on the show, go to the forums and put post in the Ask the COCers thread, and we will definitely answer those. Or you can always ask us a question by emailing us at jeff@comicattack.net or capekiller@yahoo.ca. And we would, of course, love, we dream of seeing millions of people arguing the fights on the forum, so feel free to post in the fights on the thread. Tell your friends about the podcast. That's a great thing to do. Get other people involved. I saw a couple of buddies of mine, in fact, show up on the forums, or they join the forums that they haven't posted yet, but that's always cool. You can look for us on Twitter at COC Comic Attack, and you can find us on Facebook as well, and iTunes. Subscribe to the COC podcast on iTunes. Leave us a review there. And there you go. We record every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, as it is right now. So be sure to get your votes in before then. And then we'll edit the show and post it, and on Tuesdays is when the show is published. So anything else you guys have to say before we sign off?
Vote Wolverine.
That's a good thing to add there.
See, unlike my stalwart opponent over there, I don't have to pander and beg for votes. My character.
It wouldn't help, dude. All right. For everybody here at COC, we thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Let's get ready to rumble!